Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe McGee. We're going through the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. We are in Genesis chapter 28 today, talking about Isaac and Jacob. And Isaac's an old man, and Jacob basically stole the birthright. Well, he got it legally because his brother sold it to him after a hunting trip one time. But we're picking up where he's about to walk this thing out. So in Genesis 28, starting in verse 1, Isaac called for Jacob, and he blessed him. And he said, "Do not marry any of these Canaanite women. Instead, I want you to go at once to Padan Aram, the house of your grandfather, Bethuel, and marry one of your uncle Laban's daughters. May God Almighty bless you, give you many children. May your descendants become a great assembly of nations. May God pass on to you and your descendants the blessings he promised to Abraham. May you own this land where you are now foreigner. May God give it, because God gave it to Abraham." So Isaac sent Jacob away. He went to Padan Aram to stay with his uncle Laban, his mother's brother, the son of Bethuel. Esau heard about his father had blessed Jacob, and he sent him to Padan Aram to find a wife. But he had warned Jacob not to marry the Canaanite women. He also knew that Jacob had obeyed his parents and gone to Padan Aram. It was very clear to Esau that his father despised the local Canaanite women, so he visited his uncle Ishmael's family and married one of the daughters. In addition to the wives he already had, his new wife's name was Malala. And so he's one of the daughters of Ishmael, Abraham's son. Meanwhile, Jacob left Beersheba and traveled out to Haran. At sundown, he arrived at a good place, and he set up camp, and he stopped there just for the night. Jacob found a stone for a pillow, and he lay down and he slept. As he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from earth to heaven, and he saw angels of God going up and down on it. At the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord God of your grandfather Abraham and the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on belongs to you. I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will cover the land from the east to the west, from the north to the south. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, I'll be with you, and I'll protect you wherever you go. I will someday bring you safely back to this place that I have finished giving to you everything that I have promised." Then Jacob woke up, and he said, "Surely the Lord's in this place. I wasn't even aware of it." And he was afraid and said, "What an awesome place this is. What a great place. Other than the house of God, the gateway to heaven." The next morning he got up very early, and he took a stone and he used as a pillow, and he set it upright as a memorial pillar. And then he poured olive oil on it. He said, "God, through the name of the nearby village of Luz." Then Jacob made a vow, "If God will be with me, if God will protect me on this journey and give me food and clothing, then if he will bring me back safely to my father, then I will make the Lord my God. I will make him my God. This memorial pillar will be a place for worshiping God, and I will give God a tenth of everything he gives me." And that's the first thing he ever realized about the tithe. He promised. Nobody had asked him to. He said, "Listen, if God, you'll bless me, I'll give you a tenth of everything that you give me." Now, starting in chapter 29, so Jacob hurried on, finally arriving in the land of the east. He saw in the distance three flocks of sheep lying in an open field beside a well, waiting to be watered. But a heavy stone covered the mouth of the well. Now it was the custom there to wait for all the flocks to arrive before removing the stone. After watering them, the stone would be rolled back over the mouth of the well. Jacob went over to the shepherds and asked them, "Where do you live?" "At Haran," they said. "Do you know the men there named Laban, the grandson of Nahor?" "Yes, we do," they replied. "How is he?" Jacob asked. "He is well and prosperous. Look, here comes his daughter, Rachel, with the other sheep. Why don't you water the flock so that they can get back to grazing?" Jacob asked. He said, "Well, they'll be hungry, If you stop so early in the day, we won't roll down the stone and begin watering all the flocks of the shepherds once they're here." As this conversation was going on, Rachel arrived with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherd. And because she was a cousin, the daughter of his mother's brother, and because the sheep were his uncle Jacob's, they went over to the well and rolled the stone away and watered the uncle's flock. Then Jacob kissed Rachel. Now this is bold, but if you want to do a little romantic story here, Jacob kissed Rachel, and tears came to his eyes. He explained that he was her cousin of her father's side, and Aunt Rebecca's son. So Rachel quickly ran and told her father Laban. As soon as Laban heard about Jacob's arrival, he rushed out to meet him and greeted him warmly. Laban then brought him home. Jacob told him the story. "Just think, my very own flesh and blood," Laban exclaimed. After Jacob had been there about a month, Laban said to him, "Listen, you shouldn't work for me without pay, just because you're a relative. How much do you want?" Now, Laban had two daughters, Leah, who was the oldest, and then her younger sister, Rachel. Leah had pretty eyes, but Rachel was beautiful. Do you understand the difference there? Leah had pretty eyes, the old one, but Rachel was beautiful, in every way, with a lovely face and a shapely figure. Since Jacob was in love with Rachel, he told her father, "Listen, I'll work for you for 7 years if you give Rachel, your youngest daughter, as my wife." "Well, agreed," Laban said. "I'd rather give her to you than someone outside the family." So Jacob spent the next 7 years working to pay for Rachel. But his love for her was so strong that it seemed to him but a few days. Finally, the time came for him to marry her. "I fulfill my contract," he said to Laban. "Now give me my wife so we can be married." So Laban invited everybody in the neighborhood to celebrate with Jacob at a wedding feast. That night it was dark. Laban took Leah to Jacob, and she slept with her. And then Laban gave Leah, the servant, Zipporah, for her maid. But when Jacob woke up in the morning, it was Leah. What a trick is this? He raged at Laban. "I worked 7 years for Rachel. What do you mean by this trickery?" "Well, it is not our custom to marry off the younger daughter ahead of the firstborn," he replied. "Well, wait until the bridal week is over, then you can have Rachel too. That is, if you promise to work another 7 years for me." So Jacob agreed to work 7 more years, a week after Jacob had married Leah. Leah gave him to Rachel too, and Laban gave Rachel a servant, Bilhah, to be her maid. So Jacob slept with Rachel too, and he loved her even more than Leah. Now you need to remember this story. This is going to come up again. He then stayed and he worked an additional 7 years. But because Leah was unloved, the Lord let her have a child, while Rachel was childless. So Leah became pregnant. She had a son, and she named him Reuben. For she said, "The Lord has noticed my misery, and now my husband will love me." Because she soon became pregnant again. Had another son. She named him Simeon. For she said, "The Lord knew that I was unloved. He gave me another son." Again, she became pregnant. She had a son named Levi, for she had said, "Surely my husband will feel affection for me since I'm giving him 3 sons. Once again, she became pregnant, had a son, and she named him Judah. And she said, "Now I'll praise the Lord." And she stopped having children. When Rachel saw that she wasn't having any children, she became jealous of her sister. "Give me children or I'll die," she exclaimed to Jacob. Jacob flew into a rage. "Am I God?" he said. "He's the only one that is able to give you children." Then Rachel told him, "Sleep with my servant, Bilhah, and she will bear children for me." So Rachel gave Bilhah to him as for his wife. Jacob slept with her, and Bilhah became pregnant and presented him with a son. Rachel named the son Dan, for she said, "God has vindicated me. He has granted my request and given me a son." Do you understand how complicated this is going to get? You know where the 7 sons of the tribe of Israel, how they came? Nobody really kind of knows this. Then Bilhah became pregnant again and gave Jacob a 2nd son. Rachel named him Naphtali, for she said, "I have an intense struggle with my sister, and I am winning. Meanwhile, Leah realized that she wasn't getting pregnant anymore. She gave her servant Zipporah to Jacob to be his wife. Soon, Zipporah repented him with another son. Leah named him Gad, which said, "How fortunate I am." Then Zipporah produced a second son, and Leah named that son Asher, which said, "What a joy. The other women will consider me happy indeed." One day during wheat harvest, Reuben found some mandrakes growing in a field and brought the roots to his mother, Leah. Rachel begged Leah to give some to her, but Leah angrily replied, "No, wasn't it enough that you stole my husband? Now you would still steal my son's mandrake roots too?" Rachel said, "I will let him sleep with you tonight in exchange for the mandrake roots." So that evening, Jacob was coming home from the field. Leah went out to meet him. "You must sleep with me tonight, for I have paid for you with some mandrake roots my son has found." So Jacob slept with her, and God answered her prayer. She became pregnant again and gave birth to a fifth son. She named him Issachar, for she said, "God has rewarded me for giving my servant to my husband as a wife." Then she became pregnant again with a sixth son. She said, "I'll name him Zebulun, for she said, God has given me good gifts for my husband. Now he will honor me, for I've given him six sons." Later, she gave birth to a daughter named Dinah. Then God remembered Rachel's plight and answered her prayers by giving her a child. She became pregnant, gave birth to a son. God has removed my shame, so I will name him Joseph. For she said, "May the Lord give me yet another son." Soon Joseph was born to Rachel. Jacob said to Laban, "I want to go back home. Let me take my wives and children, for I have earned them from you, and I worked hard. Let me be on my way. You know, I fully paid for them with my service for you." He said, "Well, please don't leave me," Laban replied, "for I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because you're here. How much do I owe you? Whatever it is, I'll pay it." Jacob replied, "You know how faithfully I've served you through these many years, and you have many flocks and herds, how they've grown, and you have little indeed before I came, and your wealth has indeed grown since I've come, and you've increased enormously. The Lord has blessed you from everything that I do, but now what about me? When should I provide for my own family? What wages do you want?" Laban asked again. Jacob replied, "Don't give me anything. Don't give me anything at all. Just one thing, and I'll go back to work for you. Let me go out among your flocks today and remove all the sheep and goats that are speckled or spotted, along with the dark-colored sheep. Give them to me as my wages. Then this will make it easy for you to know whether or not I have been honest with you." Now, we're going to kind of pull this to a close because this is getting ready to get detail. His uncle's trying to trick him. And so he says, "Well, I'll tell you what, there are more solid-colored sheep than there are speckled sheep. There are more solid-colored sheep than there are the black sheep. So give me the speckled, give me the black, the ones that there aren't many of, and I'll work for you for them." Well, the uncle thought, "Well, man, that's a great deal because you didn't know much about sheep." And so he agreed. Now, what's getting ready to happen is God, I used to tell people, God will bless you. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care who you are. If you're a child of God, you have a covenant with God, and God will bless everything you set your hand to. He'll prosper you. It's not your IQ. It's not your GPA. It's whether or not you belong to God. So I've told people, been working at places and factories and plants and in white-collar jobs, you know, don't put yourself ahead of somebody else. You know, you become the servant. You serve everybody else. Let God promote you, and he'll do it because God loves to show off. I don't know how many testimonies I've heard over the years when I used to work with a full gospel businessman, how God would bless this man and bless this one, bless this man. Listen, I decided to serve God, and I decided to tithe, and I decided to put people first, and God bless whatever I put my hand to. And every story in the Bible, it goes that way. You know, from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, God will bless what you put your hand to, if you put God first. And so we're going to learn a great lesson. So we'll pick this up next time. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening.
Be
sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.